You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
This is 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. This is God's word.
Thanks, David. Well, with those announcements, you can kind of get an idea of why we might be talking about moving out of our comfort zone. This is something that I want us to look at corporately, but I also really want to challenge us to look at it individually as well today, because what happens corporately is going to be directly determined by what we in our own hearts are capable of doing and allowing God to do in us. So I really, really want us to, as a church body, as a group of people, whether you're a covenant member, whether you're a regular attender, whether you come occasionally, whether this is your first Sunday, however you see yourself in the mix of things, we are a body, and we are a part of the body of Christ. And so we need to figure out what God's intentions are for Life Church and how we are to go about making that happen, seeing that come about. And so I chose this particular passage today because of some of the things that we're looking at, and also because of where I feel like we are as God's people. And we've got two things going on here that creates angst for us right now in the body of Christ and Life Church, and that is that we see growth and we feel the crunch of that growth, and we realize that we've got to do something to continue growing and moving forward. We don't feel like that God's intent for us is to say we're not going to grow, or to cap the growth that God is obviously blessing us with. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem in the character of God for us to do that in this time. So we have this kind of wonderful, exciting thing going on. And yet for many of us, Life Church has become a very comfortable church for us. It's become a place where we really enjoy coming and fellowshipping and being together. We like some of the aspects of the smallness of Life Church. We like some of the aspects of the community of Life Church. We like the way Life Church caters to us and makes us feel really good and special on Sunday morning with fresh-made cookies and coffee. And look at all the college students going, yes, love those. Love that banana bread, Vicky, okay? That is absolutely tops, okay? So all of these things that are nuances of feeding our comfort, we love them, and we really don't want to give them up. And we're not saying that we're going to have to give them all up, but we know that change causes us to have to enjoy the things that we enjoy and to go after our pursuits differently than we did before change. But God is all about change, okay? He is all about changing our lives up. And there's a few of you who I could just point to you right now in this congregation, and you could stand up and you could give an unbelievable testimony of the powerful changes that God has wrought in your life in the last number of months and how powerfully that has affected you and transformed you into the person that you are right now. So we want to embrace change. We really want to. But here's the issue for us, I think, or one of the issues for us that I want us to address today in our heart, okay? And that is our comfort zone, all right? Living where we are comfortable. There's a certain temperature at which we feel most comfortable. It is not in this room for me right now. I'll just be honest with you. It is cold in here, all right? But I'm a southern boy. I like it warm. I like it sultry. I like it humid. Most of you probably don't like that, okay? But that's what I like. That's what's comfortable to me, all right? There's a pattern to our lives that make us feel at ease. When things go the way we like them to go and they're in our predictable zone, we enjoy that, all right? There's also a circle of people with whom we feel most comfortable. You know, when other people come into our little circle, we start to feel a bit uncomfortable about that. Or maybe we just don't like people in general. So when anybody shows up, we're uncomfortable. All right? But these are the kinds of things that we have to deal with. So when we're around a different crowd, in a tense situation, in an unfamiliar place, doing challenging things, we can feel very uncomfortable and very out of place. All right? So when we find ourselves out of our comfort zone, we can become a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious, a little bit agitated. Now, there's nothing wrong with that feeling necessarily, all right? It just proves that we are interested in being comfortable, all right? It just means that's what we like. We like being in those comfortable places. There are a few people in the world, very few of them, but there are a few people who will tell you, I thrive in chaos, you know? I love all of that tension. I love being in the middle of conflict. I am not one of those people. I don't think most of you are those people. And so that's not where we want to put you. We're not creating that. That's not our intent, is to create that kind of environment and cause it to hone you in some way. All right, we're not honing you through adversity right now. We're just simply saying, hey, can we look at the idea that maybe we all have comfort zones, and how is that going to play out as we're going forward and making decisions for Life Church to grow and be the church that God wants it to be? All right, it's really easy to reach a place in an individual's life where they begin to feel very concerned about the life around them, and wanting to be more comfortable. As a matter of fact, folks, going back just a few Sundays to the idea of idolatry and the worship of idols, comfort can become an idol. It can be something that we actually worship, because we give all of our time and attention and resources to building that zone of life for ourselves that will keep us very comfortable and feeling very safe, all right? So it's easy for us to reach a place where we become very satisfied, happily satisfied with the status quo. We spend a lot of time setting up this kind of a life, and we so structure our lives to the point that we can almost predict what is going to happen from one day to the next. You know, we got it down. We know what to expect in the morning when we get up, or when the buzzer sounds, the alarm goes off, whatever. We know exactly what to expect. We've got it all set up. You know, a lot of you have everything set up. So in the morning, you go into the bathroom, you know exactly what you're going to do, and all your stuff is there and laid out. Heaven forbid somebody else walk in there and mess up stuff, because it's going to mess up your entire day, because you're so set in that place. And that's very, very comfortable. And for many, the kind of stability that we're describing, that we're talking about, it provides a deep sense of security and well-being. And there's nothing wrong with that. We want you to feel secure. We want you to feel that you have well-being and safety, and that we have that in mind for you as Life Church is growing and changing. We want you to know that you're being pastored. We want you to know that you're being considered in every decision, in every dialogue, in every conversation, in every communication, that we as your leaders are very much considering your well-being and your security and your safety. And we're even considering your comfort, but perhaps not in the way that you are. And so that is going to be a place that I think is going to be challenged again and again. It's going to be confronted again and again as we are going forward, because let's be quite honest and frank, folks, we've really created a comfortable church here called Life Church. It is a great place. That's why you're here. That's why we love it. That's why we stay. It's because we love this environment. We love this dynamic. We love what we have. And there's nothing wrong with that, until God says, let's do something different. Let's change. And God may not come out and directly say that through the Spirit. He may not directly give us some prophetic word, and we may not have someone who rises up and says, thus saith the Lord, change. And I'm really glad he hasn't done that. But what he has done is he has blessed us. He has begun to move by his Spirit in ways that we have hoped for and longed for and prayed for. and dreamed about, and that is that Life Church would continue to be full of life, that we would fulfill our name and our legacy, and that we would grow and we would have increase. But with that has come some things that are problematic now. We don't know how to keep growing and stay like we are. And that is going to push us and move us and shape us in different ways. Now, there's nothing wrong with you being satisfied in a lot of ways. There's nothing wrong with you being satisfied with your job. But when you become satisfied with your service to the Lord, you got problems. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable in your home, in your automobile, in your financial standing. But when you become complacent, you and I find ourselves complacent about our spiritual life and satisfied with our spiritual progress to the point that we are very content in our comfort zone and not really intentional to move beyond that, then we've settled too deeply. And a lot of times, folks, that's when God shows up. And that's when God begins to do things that maybe we were not prepared for fully. Here's the danger for us, and that is for us to know and to continue learning about biblical truths that challenge our comfort level, but never going to those places with God and experiencing the transformation that these changes produce. What do you mean, Bill? I mean that we stay in our head, or we stay in our heart, but we never bring those together and step out and do fully what God has called us to do, because we like where we are. And we can talk about church growth, and we can talk about change, and we can talk about transformation, and we can talk about all kinds of spheres of influence. We can talk about reaching our city. We can talk about reaching this neighborhood. We can talk about reaching the world. Oh, we can go on. But unless we do it, we've done nothing. And it's the doing that creates this atmosphere of change and challenge that confronts our need for our comfort zone. We should never reach a place as a child of God where we are totally satisfied with our walk and our wellness and even our witness, because that witness is to a lost and dying world, and that's the mandate of God. We are called to reach the lost. We're called to go and make disciples. We're called to share the light of Jesus. And we cannot be like a city that is set on a hill but hides its light under cover. We have got to be willing to be what God has called us to be. You know, if there's ever been a Christian that reached that place where he could be satisfied with his spiritual progress, it was probably the Apostle Paul. Yet, let's look for a moment at how he speaks about the dynamic that he is living in his relationship with God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. It says that, and this is Paul speaking. Now, this is Paul the apostle. This is Paul the church planter. This is Paul the one who has raised up many and trained many and released many out and traveled and done mission work all over the world at that time. But in all of what he had done, all of what he had accomplished, this is what he has to say. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I do what I do because of Christ and what he has done." He goes, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What is Paul saying? Regardless of what I've accomplished, regardless of what I've done, where I've been, what I've experienced, regardless of what has come my way, regardless of titles, regardless of prestige, regardless of accomplishment, regardless of where I might feel comfortable in myself, this is what I'm doing. I'm pressing to something more. I'm never willing to rest where I am and stay where I am. And see, that is part of the American dream. That is part of the American culture, is I'm going to spend my life working and making money and get to the place where I can have something that a lot of people would call retirement. And in that retirement, I'm going to have everything set in place. It's all going to be ordered, and I'm going to take care of myself in that place, in my independence. I'll not need anybody else, and I can say what I want to do and be what I want to be, go where I want to go, and it's all my world. And folks, that is so contrary to presenting your body a living sacrifice unto God. And so this idea of us heralding this message of being blessed for the sake of comfort is totally not biblical. We are blessed for the sake of influence. We're blessed for the sake of being effective for the kingdom of God. Pastor Dave and I went to, now don't any of you snicker when I say this, all right? Do not snicker. Pastor Dave and I attended a workshop for sex addiction. Okay? It was a very serious workshop. And we were trying to learn some things to be able to help people. And the gentleman who was the keynote speaker, who had gone through a horrible battle with sexual addiction, all right? He gets up, and one of the things he says has nothing to do with this battle of sex addiction necessarily. But it impacted me as much as anything else he said, and that was this. Folks, God is not, nor has he ever been, interested in your comfort. Just isn't. He really is not overly interested in your comfort. He's very interested in your obedience. Matter of fact, he would rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. Ultimately, it is really a condition of the heart. So now let's take this a little step further. Not only do many of us as individuals live in this kind of like personal comfort zone, but we've created a spiritual comfort zone to live in. And what is problematic about that is that that then causes us to breed a church comfort zone. And then the whole church is in the same spot. And as a church body, we're not moving out and we're not taking risk and we're not growing deeper because we like our little church's comfort. And you say, well, Pastor, are you telling me we're going to throw all that out? No, I'm not. There's some things I'm holding on to real tight right now. And the church growth committee and the elders and even Pastor Dave are probably, without realizing it, just trying really hard to pry me apart so I can let go of some of these things. And this is the way we're all going to be as we go forward. When the attendance is up and the offerings are good, we may be tempted to back off and take it easy and enjoy this newfound excitement, and that's okay for a while, but not for long. And God's been blessing us, and we've been enjoying a lot of good things, and we've got lots of things that we never had before. We got lots of kids. We used to didn't have any kids. We've got lots of events and fun opportunities. We got a garden. We didn't have a garden years ago. Now we've got a garden, and we're feeding people in the neighborhood. We've got wonderful community here. We've got more intergenerational community than we've ever had. We've got a lot of young life in this church. We've got, once again, a wonderful collegiate community in this church. You got a couple of pretty decent pastors, I think. You know, we're not too bad. Thank you. But let me tell you something. We're scrambling like animals here because this is big to us. And I think most of you know my style, and my style is a strongly hands-on pastoral style. And so growing is like driving me crazy. How do I pastor you as we grow. And what does that require of me and my comfort zone? But here's the thing. How do we move out? Especially if God is moving in a particular way that is going to require some changes. How do we move out of the comfort zone? And that's why I'd like to bring you for just a few minutes to this story of Jabez. I'd like to just talk for a few minutes about this guy and maybe let him encourage us as we are going forward here, okay? And so what I'd like to do first is I would like to look at Jabez's personality, all right? Just this, and we're just going to try to extract a few things from this little small passage that David read to you here. But I think there are some things here that we can pull up and look at, and we can make some application here, okay? And so I'd like to look at his personality for just a moment here, okay? And I think there's about three things here I'd like to say quickly here about him and about his personality, because I think these are things about his character, and they show his desire to rise above the average, to rise above the ordinary a bit, all right? And to do that walking with God. You know, there are a lot of people who want to rise above the ordinary, but they want to be hot doggers. They want to be stars in and of themselves. They want to do their own thing, you know. But this is a man who is wanting to live above average life, and he's wanting to live it in God, okay? And now, if you read 1 Chronicles, if you back up from where his little blurb is, that two-verse blurb about him, and you start reading at the first of 1 Chronicles, what you get is this genealogy, all right? And it's of the nation of Israel. And for the most part, it is just a collection of begots, you know. And it's this man begot this son, and then that son begot this son, and it goes on and on and on. And so it's a lineage, it's a genealogy, and all of that is not interesting until you get to those small places where there's something that breaks in, and there's some little nugget about someone like King David, you know. But these are places where someone was maybe more notable. They were more noteworthy in some way. They maybe accomplished something, or they were a key figure in some part of the overall story. But then we come to Jabez. And we're confronted here, I think, with a man whose life seems to be here like some unique sort of story. It's like he gets to have a little bit of attention. He gets a marker. He's actually pointed out not only by name, and then they move on, all right, but he's actually talked about, details are given about this particular man in all of this lineage. Most of the others simply state that they begot sons and daughters and that they died. It appears that Jabez wasn't content to be like everyone else. And it turns out that Jabez here seems to be kind of a giant among the pygmies or something like that. You know, he stands out, all right? He's like, down south we would say, he's like cream. You know, it rises to the top. That sort of thing. He's a real somebody, all right? And he's got something going for him, and that's what we need to look at. What is it about this man that makes him one who is a standout and who is spoken of this way? Because in quite honesty, there's not a lot of people, a lot of human beings who rise above the crowd, all right? There's not a lot of people that leave sort of that indelible mark, if you will, in the world. But I think there are a lot of people who deep down in their heart would love to, but they just don't ever quite figure out how to do that. And I think that church personalities work that way as well. There are a lot of churches that want to make a mark. They want to have an impact. And it isn't necessarily that they want to be big. They want to have an impact. And I think that's very noble. I think that's very good. But they tend to always be small and never really figure out that strategy or that plan to have an impact. And some of you right now may be saying, well, Pastor, do you feel like we have an impact? Because we do a lot of stuff. I do. I feel like that we have an impact. I feel like that we have been making an impact. I feel like that the impact that we have been making has been progressive, and that we are making a greater impact now than we did a year ago, and that was more than we did the year before that even, and so on, okay? So I really believe that even though we are a small church, we are an impacting church. But here's what I believe. I believe that God has something more for us, and I believe that God is growing us because of that. I believe that the intent of God is that we have a greater impact than we have now, and we've got to figure out how to do that. Because we can't do that if we just keep doing it like we're doing it right now. All right, so we've got to be able to do that, all right? And so here's this man, Jabez, and he is in this particular place, and now something is being said about him. So he has set himself apart, if you will, in his place in life. He's not content, if you will, to be like everyone else. I think that's a part of his personality, and that's why he prays the prayer that he prays. He's not content to be like everyone else. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe that Life Church, personality-wise, is content to be just like every other church. Folks, Life Church is not going to be cookie cutter. We're not going to be that. We don't want to just model ourselves after one other church or one other style, if you will. But what we really want is we want to be able, when we all have gone on, Life Church continues, but also people can say, Life Church impacted the city. Life Church impacted a nation. Life Church impacted a people group. Now, these are important things, I think, to God, not just to leadership, if you will. All right? So, but I want you to be able to say, you know what? I have let God in, and I have let him invade my comfort zone, and I have let him move me and change me and transform me, and now I'm doing more than I've ever done. And I may be outside of my comfort zone, but I'm being effective. I'm doing something for God. I'm making a difference in someone's life. I'm having an impact somewhere that I never would have had if I'd have stayed comfortable and stayed right where God had originally blessed me. And I bottled that up and held on to that and hoarded that. And so I've got to be willing to step out. I've got to be willing to never be satisfied to be like someone else. And never be satisfied in the current state I'm in, even if that's better than what I look back on. I remember once as a young boy, struggling very much with my relationship to my own dad. And not understanding him and feeling that he did not understand me. And when it was time to graduate from high school, I remember thinking, I want to go to college. And I remember trying to sit down with my dad and say, hey, can we figure this out? Can we get a plan together? Now, I didn't understand the impact that a man who had to quit school in the ninth grade to take care of his mother and being what in those days, in that time of culture, was known as a bastard child because he never had a father. I didn't know what that did to his psyche. I didn't understand that at that time, okay? So I'm trying to talk to a man who only finished ninth grade and who sold himself, basically, in a sense, to a farmer for 25 cents a week to take care of his mother. And as I sit down to talk to him, he wouldn't talk about it. We don't need to talk about this. This is not a conversation. I don't want to talk about this. But this is my future. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about going to college. And this is what he said to me. And he walked out the door with this. And I'm not belittling my father now. I'm just telling you, this is a dangerous mindset. He said, son. No, actually, he said, boy. You graduated from high school. That's a good thing. That's more than any other man in my family has ever done. And he was satisfied. He was satisfied right there. And you know what? If I'd have listened to him, I could have gotten satisfied right there. And I could have lived in a small country town in South Georgia and just stayed right there and worked at the carpet mill the rest of my life. But you see, I wanted something more because I knew that there was opportunity there. And by this time, you know, I'm thinking about my future. But only a couple of years later, I became a Christian. And it was like, oh, now I understand opportunity in a much different way. And I have to go. I have to go. I have to move out of this. And there were family who wanted to hold me back. There were family who said, you can't do this. There were family who said, this isn't right. There were friends who said, they called me a traitor. How can you go? How can you go to some other part of the country? This is where you were born. This is where you were raised. This is where you belong. This is who you are. You're this little country boy from South Georgia, and this is what you're going to be. This is how you should die. And I could have believed that. And I could have stayed there. And you know what? The enemy, through good people, could tell you and I, don't do it. Don't make those changes. Don't get different. Don't be radical. Don't be a different church. Don't move out of your comfort zone. You deserve your comfort zone. You deserve what you have. You deserve what you've built and worked so hard for. And you've gotten there. Why would you want to screw all of that up now? Don't do that. And some of us just might buy it and say, yeah, that's right. That's me. I deserve this. Only to miss the better, the greater. Not that what you have is bad. It can be quite good. Because let me tell you something. Right now, Life Church is good. But the goodness of God is not letting us stay where we are. And so we've got to be willing to pray a different kind of prayer. And we've got to be willing to live differently than what other people will tell us. We never want to be satisfied to be like everyone else. And what I'm saying is that we need to be different because the Lord has done a work in our heart and in our lives and in our church. And it's comfortable to follow the crowd. It's comfortable to be like others. It's comfortable to chart the same old course. But it's not comfortable to chart a new course. And so in our genealogy as Life Church, somewhere there's got to be a marker. Somewhere there's got to be something that says, and Life Church prayed. And God moved. And Life Church obeyed. And then we can talk about the things that God did out of that obedience. Okay? When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Jabez could have just stayed right there. His mother named him Jabez for a reason. She experienced great pain in birthing him. And that name, Jabez, fully translated, means pain, sorrow, difficulty. One who causes pain. And he could have stayed there. He could have stayed under that identity. But that's not where God wanted him. God doesn't want you and I to stay somewhere, even if it's a good place. Even if you've got a good reputation, a good word right now, a good life right now, it isn't God's intent necessarily for you to stay there. It might be that God's whole intent is to change that and to move you. And I'll tell you what, if you have an identity that is not a good identity, if today you're sitting here and your identity in your own heart and mind is one that I am wicked, or I am a sinner, or I'm consumed by shame, or I'm a broken person, or I'm a defect, or I'm invalid in some way, and the world has told you this, or the devil has told you this, or you think you're undeserving of the love and the grace of God, let me tell you something. That is a wrong identity. And God is here today to change that for you. God will move in your heart today if you will allow Him and accept Christ into your life. He will give you a new identity today. And that is the ultimate starting place right there. Jacob's name meant supplanter, trickster, deceiver, heel grabber. In other words, someone who trips someone else up to take advantage of them. And God met him in a dream, and God came to him and literally changed his life. And in transforming him, changed his identity, changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God. A trickster, a supplanter, a deceiver, a heel grabber. But an encounter with God brought him to the place of being Israel, the prince of God. It's in you. It's in you, every one of you. There is a place in you where God wants to work and transform you and give you the identity that He established from the foundation of the world that was to be yours. I got to wrap this up. Hey, if we go to two services, I got to preach shorter sermons, all right? So this is going to be challenging. Oh, my goodness gracious, okay? All right, let me give you an illustration here, okay? I want to tell you a story. I got to tell you this story today. I can't leave you without this story. This is, for me, a beautiful illustration. But you know, like, I love running and I love runners, okay? But you can rise above your past and you can rise above your circumstances in life. And I want to hit this in there because I've been talking about life, church, and corporate. But I want to hit something straightforward for everyone here for just a minute, okay? Some of you may have heard of the name Wilma Rudolph, all right? Especially if you're in track and field, you may have heard of her. She was a successful Olympic athlete in the early 1960s. But most people don't know her story. They just know that she was an athlete, okay? She was born the 16th of 18 children in a poor black family in Middle Tennessee, all right? So 18 kids, she's number 16. You can bet a lot's already been taken by the time it got to her, all right? All right. She weighed, at birth, she weighed 4 pounds and 1 ounce. At the age of 4, she contracted polio, and she lost the use of her left leg. The battle with polio, it says, left her weakened, and she immediately developed a chronic pneumonia and scarlet fever. I mean, the odds are just, man. Even though she managed to survive those deadly diseases, she spent the bulk of her childhood as a cripple. It was only through years of therapy, which her mother carried her to on her 1 day off a week. She got 1 day of therapy a week. But that determination caused Wilma to be able to regain the use of her left leg. She went on to play high school basketball. She set a single season record for the most points scored, 803 points in 25 games. In 1960, Wilma Rudolph represented the United States in the Olympics. They were held in Rome, Italy, and she won gold medals in all three of the events which she competed. In both the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash, she finished at least 3 yards in front of her closest competitor. She tied the world record in the 100-meter and set a new Olympic record in the 200. And in the 400-meter relay, she brought her team from behind to win the gold medal. At the very least, you can say this woman rose above her circumstances in an unbelievable way. Now, here's the amazing thing. This is a woman who, in the most dire and adverse situation, was able to rise up. Folks, you're not there. You're in a blessed situation. But the danger is equally there for you to say, oh, we don't need to do that. Or we shouldn't do that. Or we can't do that. I'll guarantee you they were voices telling them, don't even try. Don't even hope for it. Don't even think about it. Don't even dream it. All right? The Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And I think this simply means that he was worthy of honor because of what he was doing. His commitment, if you will. All right, to make a difference, to do something outside of the ordinary. And God looked upon that with favor because his intent was to do something for the glory of God. This demonstrates to me, this speaks to me things. This calls things up in me. And I hope that it does for you as well. Because there's so much. I mean, the actual prayer of this man is amazing. He asks for God's best. You know, he prays for prosperity. But listen, he is not praying for prosperity so that he can enjoy the prosperity. He's praying for the prosperity so that he can do what God would have him to do. It's not just a prayer to be blessed. He is praying for God to bless him. And I don't want you to be satisfied with the mediocre in your life. I don't want you to be satisfied with just all these wonderful little things that God has done for you. You know, I got a house, I got a car, I got an apartment, I got a grant, I got a loan, I got this, I got that, I'm getting an education, I have a spouse, I get to stay single, hallelujah. You know, I mean, it's all in your perspective. It's how you look at it. But the reality is all these things that you call blessings in your life are not there just for you to enjoy. But God is giving you this so that you can be a blessing. And God hasn't given us this kind of community. God hasn't given us this sense of mission. God hasn't given us this heart for worship. God hasn't given us this desire for intimacy just so we can have a good little church that we all feel good in. I wish we could. It'd be great, but it's not the case at all. He has called us to reach the lost. He has called us to go into all the world. And we can't do that if we stay here in a small little group in a special little comfort zone that nobody can touch. And so I want to challenge you and I. The final piece of Jabez's prayer seems to be something on this order. I don't want to cause pain. In other words, I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to hurt anybody. I think deep down all of us would resonate with that prayer, but understand how he got to say that. It was, God, bless me. God, increase my sphere of influence. God, give me power and authority to be able to move in the earth. Now, God, with all of that, don't let me hurt anybody. In other words, keep me humble. Keep me where I am right now. See, this is the paradox. God is saying, I want you to change. I want you to go, and I want you to be something that you're not yet. But at the same time, I want you to be who you are. I want you to stay in this place of humility. I want you to stay in this place of being moldable. I want you to stay in this place of letting me have lordship of your life. Where you at? That was your life group lesson. That was the big question in life group Wednesday and Thursday and Friday night. God came to Adam and Eve and said, where are you? He knew. He knows where you are today. He knows right where you are. But I'm asking you that to get you to think about where you're at. Where are you? Are you entrenched and solidified in your comfort zone? Are you willing to be one of those in Life Church who will say, you know what, we all got to do this together, and arm in arm, we're going to go, and we're going to be what God called us to be. And I believe every one of us can do that, and that's my call to you today. Just say yeah. Just say amen. Yeah. We got to do this. We got to be willing to go. I don't know where that's at. I don't know what that looks like yet, all right, but we got to go. We got to get up. And we got to let the blessing of God drive us to do the will of God for the sake of the kingdom of God. And we got to do that in a way that it doesn't hurt anyone. Amen. Amen. Someone is coming to share the gospel at this time.
You know, as I was sitting back there, this is what kind of came to mind to me. You know, if we couldn't be bothered about anything, we couldn't ever be pushed out of our comfort zone. For those of us in here who have turned to Christ, we never would have. We would have never paid attention to our sin. We wouldn't have let it bother us enough to change, enough to follow him and go after him. And it says in Colossians, and you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Then he set us this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. I mean, and that's the gospel, that God came by his son Jesus to come and rescue us out of where we were comfortable in death. I mean, if you're dead, you're not bothered by anything. But he came to bring us new life. He came to cancel that sin debt that we had. He came to forgive us by his blood so that we could know him, so that we could walk with him. So being bothered is not a big deal, because it means we're alive. It means that we're affected by what's going on around us. And so there's going to be a team that comes up and to pray if you need prayer. If you feel like you're dead, if you feel like you've never responded to God's love through Jesus, you can come and be prayed with. Or if you just need prayer, like this is, you know, what was said today is bothering you. It's good. And there'll be here people to pray with you, that God would be your comfort, that he would be your place of stability and home that we do need, but that it would be him and not what's our circumstances and what's around us. So I'll pray, and then if you need to come, come. Otherwise, you're free to go. Father, we thank you for this life that you have given us. We thank you that you did come, that Jesus, that you left heaven. You left the heavens to come down to rescue us, to pull us out of death and darkness into your love, into your light, into your kingdom. God, we thank you that you have made us alive, that we can feel and know the effects of sin and desire to move and change and get out of that comfort zone and into your life, and to go then and help others see and to speak to others about this love. God, I pray that you would help us as Life Church to follow you, to hear your voice, to not be so bound by routines and a sense of stability that we can't hear you and that we will, and that we couldn't obey, but instead we would follow and we would obey you. Father, I pray that this week as you would help us as we spend time with you, going over the survey and deciding where it is we think you might be leading. God, give us discernment as a church body. Help us to follow you. Help us to hear you clearly. Just as we did in January, would you give us another time of discernment and of hearing from you? God, we want to know you. We want to follow you and be close to you. So we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.